Council. This is Lynn Prodger, City Treasurer. There's really not much to this budget. There is that 275 raise for some non-union employees. And it's not much.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the council on the treasurer budget? So, any questions from members of the public on the treasury's budget? Any questions from members of the public on the treasury budget? Hearing none, we will move to the finance budget. Finance department.
Yes, and that's just myself and two employees.
Okay. Any questions on the finance budget, the finance department budget? Councilman Gephardt.
Can you just run us through 18,400 contingency?
There's been $200,000 for a long time. I think Lynn is probably a better one to address the uses of it over the past few years.
It's been used for a number of things. Quite a few years ago, we had a macro burst and we needed a place to fund some repairs. We used that with the lease that's coming up. When we take the paperwork to the DMV, we pay for the registrations out of there. It's been, if the annex building has a pipe explode and we need a place for repairs, that's where it goes. Could be anything.
Okay.
Got anything it. Unbudgeted, I should say.
Okay. And then professional services, can you just tell us what's in that 125 line item?
Is that the audit?
The biggest expense out of there is our audit firm.
Okay, got it. And so that will cover what, the 21 audit?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Let's see. 1 week ago, I actually sent some finance-related questions to the finance director, and we may not be able to get into all the details because some of them related to the revenue side of things. So I suppose that a brief question is, would I be able to get detailed responses before the budget vote on Thursday? And I'll just put out there that in the event that I receive detailed responses, I'll forward it to our constituent affairs liaison so that the responses may also be distributed to other members of the council without violating the OMA.
I have no objection to responding as promptly as I can to any of your questions.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any members of the public would like to speak about the finance department's budget? Any questions for members of the public on the finance department's budget? Seeing none, we will move to the pensions.
Pensions are on page 55.
Yeah, let me start with this. Lynn does most of the, has a long history of dealing with them, but I think there's some a couple of interesting points I want to make in that the pension contributions that you see in 22 for the really police and fire one, police two, fire two, and the municipal plan are all based upon actuarial studies as of June 30, June 30, 2020, or July 1, 2020. And at that point, and there's a computed normal cost and an amortization of any unfunded liability. And they record the assets based upon an averaging based upon at that time. And for the year ending June 30th, the asset improvement return on the pension fund was only around 3%. 6 months later, it was over 19%. I was looking at the statements yesterday, and this is Warwick Pension Fund is the second largest public pension fund in the state, next to the state of Rhode Island. And as of June 30th, it was the assets of all the four funds was $498 million. We were working on some reconciliation with the controller at the end of March. It is now increased to $611 million. So there have been extraordinary returns in the stock market, in our pension funds over the last year and a quarter. And we'll see that in for the statements reporting as of June 30, 21. So that I think we'll see some moderation in contributions, and really the contributions are only up approximately 4% this year. But we'll certainly see some improvements in funded ratios and probably contributions that are required. Just so you know, on the funded ratios as of June 30th, 2020, police two plan 80% funded, assets of $208 million, fire two 81% funded, assets of over $87 million, municipal plan 74% funded, assets of over $135 million, and police one plan, police and fire one, which is really a grandfathered plan, 24% funded. I think there's only one or two active members left in that plan, both from the fire department, $67 million as of June 30th. So that's what we've seen happening since the contributions were determined according with the ordinance and based upon the June 30th, 2020 actuary report. And you see the numbers of the contribution numbers on page proposed for fiscal year 22 on page 55 of your budget.
Thank you very much, Mr. Schaefer. And those percentages are outstanding compared to other cities and towns, 80%, 81%, even 74% when we're looking at other pension plans across the state. And as you mentioned, the lowest one, the police pension one, there's only a few employees left. And so that's a grandfathered one that will be taken care of as well. Members of the council on the pensions. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I recall that the police fire one pension, as was mentioned, is grandfathered. I know that it was the, I shouldn't guess the precise date. I know that it was a 40-year plan. How many years into the 40-year plan are we?
I can't answer that, but I can tell you that I had a good discussion with the actuary about that plan, and they see a trend now where it's such an aged plan that really benefit payments will start declining in a few years. There is no plan any longer to go to 100% funding by contribution, major contribution increases. This plan will become funded from mortality of its members.
Sad in a way, obviously. Of course, that's the nature of pensions, is that they last for the benefit of the members. And that's what's obviously important here. For reference, the police and fire one pensions, when combined, we're looking at approximately, for the fiscal year 22 proposed budget, approximately $20 million. And if I recall correctly, I think that we're somewhere in the neighborhood of 25, 26 years, somewhere in that neighborhood, into the 40-year plan. I suppose my one last item would be something of more of a comment than a question. Obviously, long-term, the stock market tends to go up. I'm not sure if, well, obviously, none of us have a crystal ball as to where the stock market is going to go in the next year or 2 years after its sharp increases that many took notice that seemed to be in contrast to the overall economic conditions. But, you know, I for one, would say that it's important to certainly not take our foot off the gas pedal in terms of the pension contributions and see what we can do to get as close to 100% funded over, you know, obviously making sure that we're doing it responsibly as well, but not take our foot off the gas. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Gephardt.
I missed a couple of the numbers you gave, Mr. Schaefer. So on the fire two, can you just give me that percentage one more time?
81% funded, $87.1 million in assets as of June 30th, 2020.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then the assets on police one and fire one?
67.3 million.
And so as members reach end of life and come out of that plan, what happens with a plan like that with remaining assets that are in the plan once all members are no longer on the plan?
Well, I mean, the strategy is to have it run out of money when there's no members left, so.
Okay. You just described it as having relatively few members, and that seems like a large number, but maybe I'm not doing the quick math in my head.
In terms of active, there's still many people on pensions, but there are no, virtually no active employees, a few firefighters. The Firefighter II plan was established in 1992, so it's only people who were hired before 1992 that are still working.
Understood. Okay. Thank you.
It would be over 30 years, so approximately 30 years.
Okay. Got it. And the contributions that we're making this year, do they meet whatever actuarial assumptions we've been asked to make?
Yes, they're all meet the annual required contribution. They're based upon a 6.9% investment return assumption. It's pretty conservative.
And is there an estimated, you know, average lifespan for the members that's included in those calculations?
Well, I think the driver that we've seen more is the number of retirees versus the number of active employees. And that's, for example, in Police 2, that's become, there are more retirees now than there are active members. But it was only, the Police and Fire One had a 40-year amortization window of opportunity. All the other plans, any kind of major unfunded liability is amortized over a 30-year period. There are tables in the actuarial report that speak to that.
Okay.
They're all posted on the city's website.
Okay, got it. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattiser.
Oh, yes, thank you, Mr. President. So to just try to add a bit of information to Councilman Rick's question about how long in the 40-year plan, I can say for certainty that if our colleague, Councilman Gallucci was here, he would know that exact answer because that was done by, at the time, Mayor Joe Walsh. So I would guess it's somewhere in the 25 to 30 year area right now. Councilwoman Travis might have a better handle on it even than I, but just to give some sort of an answer to it, that was started by Mayor Walsh back in the day.
I disagree with you on that. I was here with Mayor Chafee when we did the 40-year amortization.
Yeah,
councilman.
I knew he was going to say that.
On the police or the fire?
Police and fire one.
That was done by Mayor Chafee, not Mayor Walsh?
No, Mayor Chafee. It was done by Mayor Walsh, if you're over by now.
Okay.
That was a pay-as-you-go plan until the mid-1990s. And I can remember the actuary putting a major display on this screen right behind us here in City Hall. And Councilwoman Travis was sitting there.
Okay, well,
told the council.
I guess the error on my part at least brought out an answer to the question. So thank you for that. Peter, you also brought up a very good point that we now have more retirees than active employees. That certainly raises a concern in its own, because you have a lot more money coming out of the bank than what's going in the bank. And the pensions are much larger than they were 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. While there are not many, there are some pensions that are approaching $100,000 a year. There are some over $100,000 a year. So the money is coming out in larger portions now with fewer employees paying in. Granted, employees perhaps are making more now. And over time, I'm not sure what the effect of that's going to be. The other issue that we have is with the retirees. Prior to becoming a retiree, the employees are paying anywhere from an 18 to a 20% copay on healthcare. Once they retire, as we heard the conversation earlier, there is no payment. So that continues to grow expeditiously without any contributions into that as well. I think these are things that should be of significant concern in longevity and sustainability. That's all I have on that for now, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any members of the public would like to speak on the pensions? We have a few hands up. If we could unmute the first speaker.
A couple of quick questions. While the employee is employed, presently, what is that employee's contribution to his pension percentage? What is his contribution?
It varies depending upon the plan. And where I didn't do a table.
We have four plans, right? Let's just say
fire
two.
It's pretty high for fire two and police two. I can tell you that
it's a 16.71% for police and 14.29 for the fire.
14.29 for fire. Municipal will look up for you. So we think it's
nine and a half.
And what is
more significant than the state administered plans?
What is the taxpayer's contribution towards that?
Well, both police and fire are structured to be one third, two thirds.
So the employee pays
plan is something different.
The employee pays a third and a taxpayer pays two thirds.
Yes.
Correct? Is that correct?
Yes.
So the employee pays one third and the taxpayer pays two thirds. And it's a defined benefit plan, correct?
Correct.
So if the employee pays a third and the investment vehicle tanks, like the stock market tanked last February, that employee, he doesn't lose anything because the taxpayer makes up for that loss by their contribution, correct?
No, I would say they make it up two-thirds, one-third.
Right, the employee doesn't come out of pocket. Losses are going to be right?
To the asset values. And
so in other words, the employee doesn't come out of pocket anymore. The taxpayer comes out of pocket to make up the balance of the losses in the revenues of the plan.
Not for police and fire. That would not be correct.
Not for police and fire?
No, there's one-third. It's a one-third, two-thirds sharing.
It's based on wages.
But I think my point is the employee has a defined benefit plan. So, for example, Mr. Schaefer, let's say you have an employee, an employee plan where they're contributing a third and they have X amount of dollars that they've contributed. And all of a sudden, we have a catastrophic situation in the stock market and all of your investment vehicles tank. The pension that has been derived for that individual upon retirement, that doesn't change, does it?
No.
No. So the entire stock market could have a catastrophic collapse and the investment vehicle could be generating $0, but that employee still gets what's been promised to him in a defined benefit program versus a defined contribution program. Am I correct on that?
Yes.
Okay. So in the private sector, that simply does not exist because the mathematics just do not work, right? The mathematics only work if your contributions are relevant to the benefits that are derived from the investment vehicle that you have contributed to that shows a profit. And in the private sector, if that investment vehicle that you have contributed your money to does not show a profit, then you lose. So herein lies the problem, okay? This problem is generational problems because it has not been addressed. Because the fact of the matter is that the taxpayers that are paying the bill do not have a defined benefit program. They all have to invest on their own. They have to hire an investment vehicle, an investment advisor of a 401k, a SEP IRA for those of us that are SEP, that are, you know, privately employed. We have risk. The municipal employees have no risk, right? They don't have any risk in the game.
Well, that's not what state employees, out of state employees feel right now, but former state employees, but.
All right.
Theoretically, yes.
I don't think we're talking about state employees in that budget right now. I think we're talking about city employees. And right now, I think everybody could agree that no matter what happens to the stock market, the employees share no risk in that loss. Is that an accurate statement?
Retirees share no risk in that loss. The employees do share risk, one-third, two-thirds, lease and fire.
No, wait a minute.
No, you wait a minute.
What I'm saying to you is that...
Mr. Cody, one person at a time. Mr. Schaefer, go ahead.
Employees, if there's major losses in the stock market, the total contribution will go up and it will be shared one-third, two-thirds. Mr. Cody's right that once you're retired, there is no risk.
Right. So once you retire, there is no risk, right? So the point that I'm saying is the investment vehicle that the employee contributes to, he has a set goal that at a certain date, I'm going to retire at X amount of dollars. And no matter what happens during the course of his retirement, he's guaranteed that he's going to walk out the door with that amount of money. Is that not correct?
You have him back as an employee again, he or she, but.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Say that again, please.
You had the person back being an employee again. Once they're retired, you're right. There is no risk.
Okay, so if for example, I am a, whether we're-
Again, I think we have answered that question, that once he's retired, there is no risk.
I have a specific question.
Okay, well, please ask the question. No more examples, please ask the question.
I'm trying to, but you keep interrupting me. So, Mr. Schaefer, so if I am, for example, a police officer at I'm a lieutenant and I've been a lieutenant for a year and I have 20 years in and I go to retire. If I retire at 20 years versus I retire at 22 years and there's a catastrophic loss in the stock market, will that affect the amount of money that I will receive upon retirement?
No.
No, but it would affect municipal employees.
Okay. Involved. But it wouldn't affect the amount that I'm going out the door. But what you're saying is on the back end, the municipal employees may have to pay a little bit more to make up for that?
Their COLA is based upon investment earnings.
Their COLA, but not their contribution, not their initial contribution, right?
Yeah.
But is it fair to say that if that did happen, that the taxpayer would have to contribute more?
Once again, if it's police and fire because of the one-third, two-thirds, so would the active employees.
And is that the same with municipal and non-union?
No, municipal employees, it's a fixed percentage.
What about non-union people?
Fixed percentage.
Okay. So I guess, has there ever been any thought to what procedures would have to be employed to stop this mathematical formula, which inevitably leads to a catastrophic event, and put everybody into a plan where they have to self-manage it and pay attention to themselves and do a 401k. Has there been any discussion on that?
I would say no. I mean, and especially police and fire, whether it's state, this city, other cities, it's pretty traditional. Obviously, what the state did going to a hybrid plan early in the Raimondo administration was an opening to that. But I have not had any conversations either with employees here or with the administration.
So one other question. If we were to take the four plans that we have, and you would take the amount of unfunded liability, so you have police funded at, I forget what you said, what was it, 74%?
81.
81. So if you took police fire one, police fire two, and the other two programs, and we calculated out what the funding percentage was. If you averaged that all out, so in other words, I would make the analogy that we have four different credit cards at four different interest rates. If we were to do that and take all four of those pension plans and take the amount of percentage of funding that we have in the amount of unfunded liabilities, combine them to come up with an average across the board of the four, what would be, you know, within reason, I'm not asking you for, you know, right to the penny, but what would be our relative percentage of funding if we combined all four programs? Where would our funding percentage be?
Well, the idea to keep them all separate, but my guess is around 70%. And around higher 70. Than that, higher than that if you went to asset values today.
Okay, around 70. But if I'm not mistaken, doesn't the state say that less than 85% is a pension plan that's in trouble?
I believe it's under 60% is a pension plan that's in trouble.
I think you may be incorrect on that. I believe that
the 80% replies to the COLA for the MERS plan. There's an 80% provision on the COLA for the MERS plan.
Okay, so I guess I'll end with this.
Independent plans.
Do you think that currently that our pension plans are well funded in that? Moving forward with the expectation of those that will retire in the near future, that the amount of payout that the taxpayer will be obligated to, do you think that will have a negative impact on the fiscal condition of the city of Warwick and the taxpayers?
No, I think the actuarial studies show an even track going forward. I'm very happy with the way we stand right now.
And would you say that would be the same if you combine, because part of the pension payout is a healthcare payout, if you combine that as well, would you say that we're in a healthy situation?
No, that's clearly where the problem is in this city, isn't it?
So because both of those are benefits of the pension system, you know, both the pension is one aspect of it, and the healthcare is the other aspect. I would ask the question, as I asked prior to that, if you combined it all together, are we on stable financial grounds?
Well, I don't believe that the liabilities are extraordinary and are without resolution in a reasonable way.
What would be In your estimation, a reasonable time where we would be on solid fiscal grounds in terms of
We need to do some more actuarial work on the health benefits. That's one of my initiatives for the next year. I'm not going to give you an answer on that.
All right. So being that we're in the budget hearings, and these are really, I mean, applicable questions in terms of the health and fiscal stability of the city of Warwick, I just find it odd that you're unable to answer that question and that you have to do some more research on it. I would have thought that seeing as the unfunded liabilities of our benefit program would have been on your radar screen, and that you would have expected that you would have been vigorously questioned on what our health and stability is of that. But I find it disturbing, in fact, that there's not only this question, but there's so many other questions that you just need more time to figure it out. And I'm really not comfortable with that. And so with that, I'll end my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker can be unmuted, please.
Thank you, Council President. I'm going to make this brief. I just want to go over a couple of the, I think some of the problems with the pension systems. I know we talk about the funding ratios and they sound great, but I think we got to talk about how much it's costing in the budget each year to pay for these pension increases. In 2018, we went up $1.5 million, 2019, 1.3, 2020, 2.1 million. Projected in 2021, 1.2 million, and then in this proposed budget, 1.5 million. So, you know, we're kind of talking about 19%, like if a maximum tax increase close to about $8 million. And with all the other spending that we want to do in the budget, it's really starting, you know, to have an effect. And I already went over, I'm not going to rehash, you know, 50 cents on the dollar, just about practically new dollars have gone for pensions and healthcare. But Councilman Lattisaw touched on, I think, a real major problem. And what I did back in 2016 is I looked at the, you know, six firefighters who retired that year. And through a Freedom of Information, I got some data on how much did each one contribute to the system. And then, you know, how much would they receive, you know, in the next 20 years by staying in the pension system. And I just want to give you some statistics here. So the first firefighter will receive $1.1 million over 20 years and he'll contribute $127,000. Second firefighter, about $1.5 million over 20 years, contributing $100,000. Third one, $1.6 million contributing $110,000. $1.8 million contributing $124,000. $2.4 million contributing $140,000, and the largest pension over 20 years would be $2.6 million received, contributing only $157,000. So if you add all those up, the six firefighters over that 20-year period of time throughout their entire career will receive $11.1 million, contributing $764,000. So, you know, I guess, you know, Mr. Shaver, I think you would even agree that when you start looking at, you know, pensions that are going to be paying a 180 something thousand dollars over 20 years, would you admit that that's a problem?
Well, you picked out four particular cases that make it sound horrible.
That was the 2016 class.
30 years and die the next day. So. And that's what the actuary does. He looks at the assumptions on how long people are going to live, what the possibilities of disability are. So you've cherry picked your cases.
That was the 2016 graduate. That was retiree class. I did not cherry pick that. So I just wanted to make that clear. So let me ask a couple questions. The police two and fire two get an automatic 3% COLA, right? No matter what. No matter how well the forms the fund is performing, right?
Yes, except I think there's a change for people hired after 2015.
Yeah, and there's just so few in that it's not making impact. Now, I want to contrast that to the municipal plan. The municipal plan is based on the performance in the plan, right? Whether they get a COLA or not, right?
Correct.
So one of the major changes that, and, you know, I'm not saying these things would be easy to do, but you know, in my opinion, we really need to start thinking about putting some caps on these pensions. We cannot have people making $186,000 or $175,000 a year, as Councilman Lattisaw referred to. And then we're not even talking about, you know, the additional cost of lifetime health care, which is, you know, could put benefits over $200,000 a year. So all I'm saying is that, you know, I think when we add all these costs up, and I know the mayor's got some great initiatives and great things that he wants to do, you know, he wants to bring people back in and things like that. But, you know, the cost of these benefits are really getting to a point where it's consuming just about, you know, all the new dollars in the budget. And if something isn't done to curb these costs, I think the city is going to be in a huge financial problem in the future. And then one last thing to the council president. So I know, the council attorney just came in and he basically said you cannot, discuss any matter that's not on the agenda. So my question to you is, are you going to continue this session into May 27th with the revenue budget and with the capital budget on the agenda?
I'm just taking questions on the pension right now.
All right. So I don't know. So the only way I'm going to be able to tell whether I could testify in that is wait to the end of the meeting. But if you close public hearing, then I cannot ask any questions on those portions of the budget, right?
Do you have any more questions on pensions, sir?
Nope. And I'm just saying, I hope that will meet the open meetings rule if you deny the public the chance to testify in those documents.
Thank you very much. We'll unmute the next speaker, please.
Yeah, I have a quick question for Mr. Shaffer. A lot of the questions I was going to ask have already been answered, so I'm not going to duplicate it. What I'm interested in, what's the makeup of the portfolio we have right now with reference to stocks, bonds, and the like?
I've got it around somewhere, but it's we've moved to a higher share of equities.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. In the past, we've run a 40-60 portfolio, 60% equities, 40% bonds and cash. Obviously, as you're well aware, and I think you sit on the Pension Retirement Board, being the finance director, so you go to those meetings every 3 months. Obviously, the people are not getting any money for CDs any longer, as well as your bond portfolio. I mean, bonds are paying nothing right now. So that's forcing people like yourself, for that matter, anybody who's investing money today, you have to take on a lot more risk. So what is the percentage? Has it gone from like 80% now what we have in stocks versus 60 for the last 10 years? Or could you give me a little flavor on that, Mr. Schaefer?
I can tell you, since before Peter got here, the Municipal Pension Board has actually added more risk to the portfolio.
Let me read the pie. See,
that's concern. Unfortunately, that's a concern. I realize, just for you, anybody who's investing today. That's a concern because we're putting more risk. So right now, everything's looking fantastic if you invested in the stock market the last few years. I shouldn't say that. We remember what happened last March 23rd of last year. So I don't have to remind you, that's debacle. But my question is, we're taking on more risk, and that's disconcerting, especially if I was a retiree in the city of Warwick. When you're saying we're taking more risk, what do you mean by risk? What are we investing in?
I remember it was about a year ago, we moved some of our money from some inflation to stock.
In the investment, in the municipal plan, for example, it's 38.5% domestic equity, 30.8% fixed income, 0.9% alternatives, 4% resources, 7% emerging markets, and 18.8% international development.
Okay.
It's approximately the same in the other plans.
Okay, so you're still running about a 38%, I think you said, in fixed income, correct?
Yes, 30.8%.
All right, so you're still running about a 60-40 portfolio.
More like 70-30. 30.8%, I said, 16.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you said 38. I don't have the access to a computer. I'm doing this all over the phone, so it's difficult to hear the answer. Okay, you're correct. But anyhow, that gives me a little flavor again. My final comment is I'm a little bit concerned with reference to the equity market at the present time, obviously with a very high PE ratio and the like. And I don't know. I mean, what your advisor's telling you, stay invested or whatever?
Absolutely.
At that particular ratio?
They want us to move more into equities.
And what do you think about that, Mr. Schaefer?
Well, the retirement board, I think, has adopted that strategy at its last meeting. Correct, Lynn? Did we take a final vote on that?
Yeah, we allocated a little more money into emerging markets, and we did it in a two-step approach to offset any risk.
And your definition of emerging market is China and the like, or are we going into the frontier markets? What are we doing?
They're giant funds. I think it was Asia Pacific.
Okay, good enough. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any more questions from members of the public on pensions? Seeing none, we will move to debt service.
That is page 17. Debt, principal and interest are on the same page on 17. You'll note that there's a significant drop off in a number of lines, but it's made up by our payments for the road paving and drainage bond and the streetlights. And then there's also 900,000 and change in there for the mayor's lease purchase initiative.
Thank you very much. Any questions from members of the council on the debt service? Any questions from members of the public on the debt service? Any questions from members of the public on the debt service? Hearing none, we'll move to insurance.
That is on page 53. And you will notice that there is a reduction in this account of 2.76%. As you may know, we go to the Rhode Island Interlocal Trust for our city liability insurance, and they have dropped their price.
Excellent. Well, we like to hear that. Any questions from members of the council on the insurance? Any questions from members of the public on the insurance budget item? Any questions from members of the public on the insurance? Hearing none, we'll move to postage.
Postage is on page 54. It's not much there.
Pretty straightforward on postage. Any questions from members of the council on the postage budget? Councilman Sinapi.
Just a quick one. Are all those line items lowering because they're transferring, or is that because they're being refunded?
Yeah, I mean, the way this works is we pay a big postage bill and then credit the departments for it. So the first line says police, we back charge them. That's why it's a negative.
Got it. Thank you.
Any more questions from members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Let's see. I've noticed that I haven't been getting, and I can only assume that my fellow council members haven't been getting in the mail the usual notices that we get used to receive about the whenever the city of Warwick is hiring a particular position. Let's see. So I just wanted to, now that we're on the postage item, check in on that, see if that is a change.
Were those being mailed to you?
Yeah. For the first 4 years, I was getting those in the mail. Honestly, I, you know, kind of thought that it was a bit wasteful in that regard, but.
Yes, and we have actually been emailing those.
Oh,
so you should ask Joanne to reach out, your council liaison to reach out to personnel to get on that email list.
Good idea. Thank you.
They're also always on the website.
Oh, I've been sure to check the website regularly too. So, you know, I haven't been missing out on those notices, although the emails are always helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the public on postage? Any questions from members of the public on postage? Hearing none, we'll move to the city collector's office department.
This is on page 18 of the general fund, 10 of the personnel page, and this is Kyla. Good evening.
Good evening, Kyla.
There's one major change in our budget, and it's a decrease in the lockbox. The treasurer's office went out to bid for banking services and they dropped the cost of our lockbox. So we no longer have to pay for that. Other than that, our personnel supplement is the 2.75 contractual and any longevity included in there.
Thank you very much. And how much did we save, you save for dropping the Dropbox?
Last year we budgeted $72,000. So the 5-year contract is $72,000 every year for the next 5 years that we won't be putting in our budget.
Excellent. Councilman Gephardt.
Can you just talk about the professional services line? Looks like we haven't spent much this year, but we're budgeted back at the 2021 level.
We are. That actually is for our collection service agency, which is right now Rossi Law Firm. For the last couple of years, we hadn't sent anything to collection for our motor vehicles of personal property taxes, but we're back on board trying to keep the collection rate up. So we can assume that not doing it for the last year or so is going to make that higher amounts and be back where we should have been if we were collecting and sending our files to them on a regular basis.
Okay, got it. And speaking of the collection rate, where are we trending towards for this year?
I believe we're at just about 99% collection rate. Lynn, do you have that exactly?
The collection rate?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't check it before. It was last time I checked, it was 99. Yeah.
Yeah, we talked. It was right around there.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Can't speak to today, but we talked about it 2 weeks ago.
Right around there.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Any other questions for members of the council? Any questions from members of the public on the city collector's department? Any questions from members of the public on city collector? Hearing none, we'll go to the city assessor's office.
Thank you, Kyla.
Thank you very much, Kyla.
Assessors is on page 19 and page 12.
Good evening, everyone. I do want to point out, as we're looking at the budget, that this is a revaluation year. So first, I want to make sure everybody's aware of that. But also, that makes it difficult to do a one-to-one year-over-year comparison. This budget year, we've got $150,000 budgeted. But the state does reimburse us at 60% of that amount. And I'll answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much, Director. And that reevaluation, that is state mandated, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Any questions from members of the council? Councilman Sinapi.
Just for the public's edification, this is different than the last reevaluation because this isn't a statistical one. This one's the actual, Neil can define it better than I can, but it's the actual one where if there's a hole in your wall, it actually matters as opposed to just raw statistics of your neighborhood.
Well, for clarification, this is also a statistical, so it's the same sort of project as we did last time. The full reevaluation will be in 2024.
Oh, I stand corrected. Thank you, Neil.
Councilman Gephardt.
It looks like salaries are up. Can you just talk to the increase there to 724? Is there a position in there?
Well, there's a few positions that are coming back. There's still a net loss of one position, but that's the reason for the increases.
And then which of the two on the personnel supplement are the two that are added?
There were two assessor clerk positions, and then there was an appraiser position that was being refunded that weren't funded last year.
Okay, so adding one appraiser and two assessor clerks.
Correct.
And is that in support of the reval as a one-time or is that ongoing just add to the department?
Yeah, it's just, it still doesn't bring us back to the full complement that we had, but it's just a restoration of the positions that were in place before the layoffs and the bumping. There was a bumping in there as well.
Okay, got it. Were there functions that we weren't able to perform in the assessor's office without those positions, or what's the?
Well, as we go through the budget process, it was a little bit later this year. We'd like to get the numbers solidified a lot sooner. Definitely took a little bit longer. We're still dealing with exemptions that are coming through the door every day. So it's a fluid number, but very confident in the numbers that we've estimated to be. That's the biggest change. There's also things that we could be doing, looking for more revenue, but with the reduced appraiser classification, that was limited. Day-to-day functions were fine. You know, we made sure to redouble our efforts to make sure that was kept to a minimum with the taxpayers having to wait. But long-term, we want to make sure that we have a full complement so we can do the best job we can for the city.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Any questions from members of the public on the tax assessors, the city assessor's budget? Any questions from members of the public on city assessors? Hearing none, we'll move to the Board of Assessments review. Was that in boards and commissions?
Yes.
Okay. We will move to purchasing department.
Thank you, Bill.
Pat, I don't know what you did to go second to last, but we appreciate you hanging with us.
Grand finale.
She requested it.
As you know, my budget is very small. The it does reflect an increase, and that is primarily due to one recall position that we had from the layoffs.
Okay. Any questions for members of the council on the purchasing department's budget? Any questions from members of the public on the purchasing's budget? Any questions from members of the public on the purchasing budget? Hearing none, we'll move to MIS. An outstanding job, Pat.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Pat's been here since 5 o'clock for that.
We appreciate it. And last but not least this evening is our MVP this past year, MIS, who has had to put on a number of different roles and new duties to their job, like broadcasting council meetings. So, director.
Well, Phil Carlucci, MIS director. I know you've all been dying to get to the interesting stuff here in technology. Before I get started, I'd like, with your permission, to do an overview of the numbers and then sort of open it up for a deep dive into any you would like. First of all, the elephant in the room is that I have a $950,000 increase year over year, which equates to about a 58% increase. However, I'd like to break down those numbers to explain where they're what it's for and where the money is going to be coming from. The first piece, if we start off with the $948,000, $800,000 of that is from a federal program that will be dedicated to broadband. That's being split between the police and the municipality itself. Our network has been built up over the years in the best fashion. It was done well, but it was done piecemeal. We now have hit the point where it's just not functioning. We're going through major steps just to be able to move the data center across the parking lot, just because of the way it was designed in a very hub and spoke fashion, as compared to a ring where you can lose a leg of the ring and just continue to operate. So the improvements there are absolutely going to benefit the efficiency of the city. The police department is operating on copper lines for some of their communication, which, if you know anything about it, it's just antiquated. We get those from Verizon. Verizon has been raising the prices dramatically on a regular basis and sending us letters. They are pulling us off that. They will not take anyone new, I believe, somewhere in 2022. We're going to have to get off of that. So we're going to be able to hopefully take those federal funds and improve our broadband infrastructure throughout the city. We have server infrastructure replacements in IT and in the police department very quickly. Servers usually have a useful life of maybe 4 or 5 years. We've extended that before I got here. Very intelligent moves to move us to a virtual environment, which lets us use those physical servers more efficiently, but they're now reaching 6, 7, 8 years old. It's just too much of a risk to continue to run the city on these servers. So just like sewer, water, roads, everything else in the city, our technology infrastructure does wear out over time. And this is our replacement structure that we're going to have to go through. SAN into the storage area network for the police department. Zoom, we have a new position that we're going for next year. These meetings that the council president was referring to run every night of the week, usually except Fridays during the days. A lot of nights there's two per night. Every one of these meetings has my network manager. He's running the Zoom show right now. And I've been doing it for the other times he's been with me. We take two people to do it. We just need help in this area. And this is something that we can get from the relief fund, funded from the relief fund, because it's directly related to COVID. Also, we're anticipating the potential of legislation that we will be continuing these Zoom meetings even after we go back in person. And for any video conferencing system like Zoom, Teams, or whatever you're using, it's one thing to do a Zoom meeting like this. What happens when you go hybrid, when all of a sudden you have people in the room and you're doing Zoom, it becomes one level more complex and you need more expensive equipment like this point tilt Zoom PTZ camera, projection. If you were near the council, you would see how it's set up. Each one of these systems is more expensive than simply sticking a camera on a PC. And when you do that, you have to set the room up ahead of time because you can't move the equipment around. So there's going to be an expenditure in that area where we're just going to have to set up rooms if that legislation comes to fruition. Since I've been here, we have been trying to avoid our Munis ERP system. We've been trying to avoid an upgrade to that. They've been pushing us support on that. And it's obviously a fairly expensive and intricate move to everyone up to a new version. Munis is pulling support on our current version in October of 22. So that it is not a short project, and we're going to have to move on that. So we've already initiated some steps to get a project manager from Tyler Technologies and start the migration onto a new server and start the training that will go with that. Cybersecurity related expenditures. I brought this up at council meetings at different times. The city is seriously underfunded in the area of cybersecurity. We've had several audits and assessments done. They pointed out a number of areas. While we have our network, our perimeter is fairly well secured. Internally, we just don't have the procedures of protection city would require. We always talk about being one click away from a disaster. We all deal with it in our private lives, the amount of spam and stuff that we get that has viruses attached to it and the intricacies for that. So there's going to be a request in this budget that's going to try to start to address that and move us into a much better cybersecurity position. And then there's monies allocated for the data center relocation as we move into the new annex and we find a permanent home for it. It should concern all of us that our data center for the city still resides in the old annex. So the movement of that, Mayor Potosi has made it a priority, obviously, and we're doing our best to try to get that into a better position, more secure position. So actually, with cost savings, when you take all of the costs for those things out of the increase, it's actually a $132,000 reduction. And some of those I've already talked to you about at the council meetings, things like moving our copier maintenance contracts off of that. I think that's netted us close to $30,000+ worth of savings in the first 6 months, having moved to a time and material portion of that. So for the also embedded in here, just very quickly, the upgrade to these are the projects we have planned for the year, upgrade to the ERP system, migration to a statewide police administration system off of the one they're finally getting one that's going to be a statewide, excuse me, not state police, statewide police administration system. I was talking to the colonel about that today. We're going to do a pilot project to try working with DPW to try to replace some of the antiquated punch card time clock system that we have right now. Talked about moving the data center, upgrade to our EOC center for emergency operation center for their technology kit. It's gone on for about 5 years now, and we're going to go to a more effective model there. Try to do something virtually. The deployment of Zoom rooms, and then we're going to be working on some telecommunication cost reductions that we have lined up for the end of the, near the end of the fiscal year when the contracts come due. That's my summarization. I'd be happy to do a deep dive wherever you would like to.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Director. And again, I want to say.
I don't know if we can see. Mr. President, Peter would like to add something, if that's okay.
Sure, go ahead.
I really insisted that he request that we support the virtual meeting coordinator. The amount of time, it's not only the council, it's the planning board, it's municipal retirement system, it's municipal court, and it's really, Phil and Chris are the only ones that are adept at doing this. This is gonna go on. So we really need someone focused entirely on that activity.
Well, thank you, Mr. Schaefer. And I absolutely agree with that. Again, Chris and Phil, you guys have stepped up beyond, again, it's not just council meetings as it was just mentioned, it's all these other meetings. And I know that Phil and I have had conversations. Councilman Gephardt is working with me on this as well. We were anticipating and we were actually going to push for some type of hybrid. When we do come back, I think this is giving additional people opportunities to join council meetings. And when we were back in person, I think we can be able to combine it in there. I know the state is working on legislation and we'd love for them to give us some direction and maybe send some funds along the way to help with this. But I'm glad that we're at the front end of this and putting in for that position. Absolutely needed. And this is a 2021 issue, and you guys are on top of it. And so I appreciate that. I also like to commend you for the broadband. I know that's a large number, but we're using the federal money coming in for that. And that is an outstanding broadband, as we all know. In this past year has been the number one issue. It's access for people to go to school, to participate in their schools, to participate in their communities, and participate in their work from home. So this is a great investment that the city is making on that. Councilman Gephardt.
Thanks. Thanks, Phil. Very detailed summary, very helpful. You got a lot of big initiatives this year, so good luck with that. Let us know what support you need. I just had a couple of questions. So on, when you say broadband, from your summary, you're talking about the internal city network and its distribution among its various buildings and properties, or are you talking something wider than that?
We're hoping to be something. This is the first step. I believe Director Schaefer could tell me it's till 2023 or 20.
December 31st, 2024.
24. So this is the first half of an overall sketch that Chris and some of the others on the team, Chris and I had discussed on what we could do. First step, the police department, it's an internal infrastructure for them, broadband capabilities for them, but that's the number one priority. The city, with the annex move, it has become very apparent to us that we need to do something to improve our communication capabilities. It's very piecemeal, as I was explaining. So from this first bit of it, and by the way, the legislation doesn't really have any defined rules to it yet. So broadband is a very, as you well know, it's a fairly liberal terminology to use. But we can certainly classify what we want to do as that for the internal city. At that point in time, once we have, my vision would be a fiber ring, a dual direction fiber ring, we can start to look with the planning department on how do we now open up hotspot rooms, collision centers for the city, where the citizens can come in, have technology available to them that maybe they don't have at their own homes, and be able to collaborate and you know, just do things that are beneficial to the city financially, economically, and as well as the prosperousness of the citizens themselves.
All right, great. And then on cyber, you just keep pushing the envelope, but good to see you had some funding in here for that this year. So we can leave it at that. We can talk more offline, but thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any members of the public that would like to speak about the MIS budget?
Hi, folks. I want to compliment the efforts on the cybersecurity. I'm really pleased to see both the city and the council taking a longer range perspective, what will provide some security to city functions. So I'm really happy to hear that money will be designated to that function. I also want to thank you for the virtual or hybrid programming that you may be continuing for the council meetings and other city meetings. And I hope you extend that to committees or commissions as well. They're also really, really helpful to the public to know all of those activities that the city participates in. So I'm really glad about that too. So the only other thought I have about all this is sometimes we go right to saying we need a position for this or that or the other thing. There's another alternative, and that is two or three part-time people at 19 hours, where we're not hiring full-time people with pensions and all the benefits. Some people actually like working part-time, coming and going, and particularly with the virtual issues, some of those might be night meetings, and it might be useful to have two or three part-time 19-hour people available. I don't know that that would work in this case, but I'm thinking it worth a thought.
I think that's a great suggestion we could look at. Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions from members of the public on MIS budget? Okay, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
Motion to close public hearing.
Councilman Howe, seconded by Councilman Foley, Councilwoman Travis. All those in favor, we'll do a voice vote. All those in favor to close the public hearing, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All aye. Those opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the public hearing has closed. First, before we close, I just want to thank all the members of the council, the council liaison, the attorneys for joining us this evening. And I also want to thank the administration, all the department heads, Chris and MIS, all the people that participated in these last two nights to put on these meetings. This was different. This was new. And we were able to have a very good discussion. And I appreciate everyone's time and effort. And I won't go on out of that thing. So thank you very much, Mayor, as well, for joining us.
Thank you.
At this time, I will entertain a motion to continue the hearings till May 27th, 2021 at 4 p.m.
So moved.
Moved by Councilman Howe, seconded by Councilman Foley, Councilwoman Travis. We'll voice vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, we are going to be continued until Thursday night. So we'll see you at 4 o'clock on Thursday. Stay safe,
Thank
everyone.
You. Thank you. Good